Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Servants have to serve even when those they serve don't appreciate it. They know that God watches their service and is pleased. A church that serves is a church where God's presence is felt very strongly. That's a lesson we're taking home from our current study on revival. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a six-part series on what happens when God comes to church, taken from 1 Thessalonians. Listen now as we turn to chapter 2 and hear more about a serving church.
And even now in your work tomorrow, your integrity should get you into some trouble. If it doesn't, I wonder if you are really honoring Jesus. Because a person of integrity means that he should keep his promises. It means that if he promises something, if he promises money, the money will be there. Integrity means that we keep our word. Integrity means that we do not engage in all the things that the people of the world engage in, because we are different. Blessed are you when men persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, said Jesus. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. If you have ever been fired from a job because you're a Christian, don't bemoan your fate, but rejoice and be exceedingly glad, Jesus said, because you are entitled to a great reward. And all that is a part of what is called being a servant. Now, the question, of course, is what is the reward of all this? What do you get out of it? Typical American question. What's in it for me, right? Isn't that what we're all interested in? What is the benefit? What are the perks of being a servant? Today I'm speaking to people who say, you know, I work in the nursery. I volunteer in the nursery. I don't get paid for it. What are the perks? What's in it for me? I'm speaking to some people who are parkers. That is to say, they help with the parking, and some of them aren't here because they're missing this service because of parking duty. And they say, you know, I volunteer and I even skip church and I go and I work and I volunteer as someone who's involved in ministry, and what's in it for me? What's the payoff? Some of you work in Awana. You work as a tutor in kids club. And you say, you know, this business of being a servant, what's in it? What's in it? You're obviously not doing it for the money, I can tell you that. Because 0 times 10 is still zero. But what's the payoff? Why would Paul leave a well-paying job that he probably could have had, be a tent maker, work long hours, serve people? Where's the beef? Well, he mentions what the reward is. Now notice the text. He says in the last part of the chapter, verse 19, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" What is it that's going to make me happy when Jesus returns? What is it that's going to give me a great deal of satisfaction and joy? He says, "Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy." Paul speaks about faithfulness in terms of crowns. Now, these crowns aren't necessarily literal medallions that we wear, and even if we do wear them, we'll cast them at the feet of Jesus anyway. Crowns have to do with positions of responsibility within the coming kingdom. That's why service here is so important. And then Paul says these words. You know, there are two different words for crowns. There is the word diadem, which is worn by kings, and then there's Stephanos. That's the word that he uses here. It's the word from which we get the name Stephen or Stephanie. If you're a Stephanie or a Stephen, your name means crown. You are indeed very special, as all of us with different names are. But Paul says, and he uses that second word here. In other words, he says, this is the victor's crown. This is the crown that is given to those who run the race well. And what is our crown? This thing that we're going to throw at the feet of Jesus? This thing that's going to sit on our head with a halo? No. He says, you are our crown. You are our rejoicing in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reward. It's the people whom we influenced. It's the lives that we touched. It's the kindness that we showed out in the parking lot. It is the ushers who are faithful, who are dependable, who we know can be here and will be here. It's the people who are involved in children's ministry. That is the crown. That is our joy. Samuel Rutherford was in prison. And while in prison, he longed for the believers in the town, in the church in Anwath. And he wrote these words, if one soul from Anwath shall meet me at God's right hand, my heaven shall be two heavens in Emmanuel land. What's the payoff? The judgment seat of Jesus Christ, where there's a child from Cabrini Green who says, you led me to faith in Christ and you encouraged me in my walk. And we say to ourselves, that makes a double heaven for me. To be with Jesus and then to be with people that are influenced. If I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, as I will, and there would be one person who would say, I came to faith through your ministry and you encouraged me along in the way, I would say, this is my joy. This is my crown. This is the payoff. Is it not you, members and attenders of Moody Church, in the day of the judgment throne of Jesus Christ, the judgment seat? That's the payoff. You say, well, I'm still not convinced. I'm into my own schedule. I'm busy. I don't like inconvenience. I like my freedom. I don't want to be tied down. I don't want to volunteer for anything because it means that my own private schedule has to be rearranged and I just want to do what I want to do. So that's what you're saying, huh? Not many of you, but maybe some of you are saying that. Well, I have a verse for you. And if this passage of Scripture does not change your heart today, it may be that you have never been converted. Because no converted person can read this and then leave the same. And I want you to know that the verse I'm going to read is in your Bible too. The Bible that I have here is not different from the one that you have. What I'm trying to say very clearly is I'm not making this up. All right? I'm not even going to give you the reference yet because I don't want you to be turning lest you miss what this is saying. Jesus says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Now here's the verse. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this, folks, because it's very difficult for me to read this verse. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table. And he, that is Jesus, the master, will come and serve them. Imagine in the kingdom, Jesus is going to say to you and to me, I want you to sit at the table and I'm going to gird myself so that I can serve you. He is willing to do that. And yet some people will not lift a finger to be involved in God's work and with God's people. They will not lift a finger to serve. But someday he'll say, sit down and let me serve you. It's found, by the way, and you can read it later in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. But I do need to end today by saying that if you want to be served in the kingdom by Jesus, you have to first of all be served by him now. He said, the Son of Man came, he says, not to be served, but to serve. And how does he serve? By giving his life a ransom for many. He says, first of all, if we receive the service that I performed on the cross and the way I served you, you believe in me and you trust me for forgiveness of your sins, and you are born of the Spirit, someday I'll say to you, you sit down and enjoy the meal, and I'll be your servant once again. So to my heart I ask, and to yours, why are we not willing to serve a master who serves us? Let's pray. Father, when you come to a church, there are people who are willing to serve. When you came to Thessalonica, Paul served and he modeled service. And he was only modeling what Jesus had done earlier, to come to serve. And we ask today, Father, for our indifferent, selfish hearts that are so intent on our schedule, on our needs, that we've neglected serving others in your congregation. Help us, Father, we pray, and have mercy upon us. And for those who have never trusted Christ and received the benefits of his first service, we ask, Lord, that they will reach out and say, Jesus, save me. I pray in his blessed name. Amen. Amen. You know, I remember the first time I read that passage of scripture in the book of Luke where it talks about Jesus serving us in the kingdom. And I read it several times because I could scarcely believe it. Imagine Jesus serving us, the one who gave himself on our behalf. You know, we're living at a time when we are so distracted, aren't we? Because of technology, because of other kinds of pressures. I've written a book entitled Managing Your Emotions because I need to emphasize that while emotions are a wonderful gift, they can also be a tremendous hindrance in our walk with God. Jesus had emotions. Jesus experienced rejection. But at the same time, he continued to maintain his spiritual equilibrium because of his faith in God's purposes. I believe that this book will help you.
Today, Erwin Lutzer concluded a message on a serving church, the second in a series on what happens when God comes to church. Next time, don't miss When the Church Takes a Stand. Pastor Lutzer's book on managing your emotions can transform your life. This book will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.